Hallelujah. Yes, amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Every tribe and every tongue. Welcome back to Lots of Love Ministries. Whether you're here in person or joining us online, I bless you in the name of our Father. Last week, we traced the story from Babel to the cross. We saw how humanity's pride led to division and darkness, how the Father's heart broke for his scattered family, and how he began his rescue plan through Abraham, Israel, and finally, Messiah Yeshua. We discovered that in Messiah, we are no longer under the dominion of darkness, but are restored, given authority, and called in the Father's family. I ended with a promise to continue the story with the verdict and the vision. Well, here we are. The next story's chapter is open before us. And it's powerful. At least I think so. And pray you are blessed and challenged by it. Let's invite the Spirit to guide us as we dive into today's part two. Abba, open our hearts. Let us hear your voice in the verdict of heaven. Let us see your vision for the nations restored. Let us find ourselves truly in your story as sons and daughters. May every word I speak come from your heart, and may those who listen have open hearts to grasp the beauty and power of this message. In Yeshua's name, amen. Quickly remember, at Babel, the nations were scattered and placed under the authority of lesser spiritual beings. The world was plunged into darkness, confusion, and idolatry. But God kept Israel for himself, not to hoard blessing, but to begin his rescue, to shine light for all the world. Through Abraham, the seed of redemption was planted. Israel became God's priestly people, a living invitation for the nations to return to the one true God. The prophets, the Psalms, and the Gospels all resound with this message. The Father wants his family back. Now, Israel may have not always understood their mandate, their purpose, and many times they fell into idolatry themselves. But at the cross, Messiah crushed the serpent's head, disarmed the powers, and began gathering the nations back to himself. And now the question, what does all this mean for us today? Turn with me to Revelation 5, and I'm reading from Tree of Life version. John is caught up in the spirit, witnessing a heavenly court session that holds the fate of all creation. It reads like this. Then I saw in the right hand of the one seated on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. I also saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to break its seals?" No one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I began to weep loudly, because no one was found worthy. And one of the elders tells me, "Stop weeping. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is worthy to open the scroll and seven seals." Pause here. Don't miss this. All of creation is longing for someone to finish the story. Someone to unlock the meaning of history, to restore what was scattered, to bring justice and healing. John weeps because for a moment it looks like though the story will end in chaos and defeat. But the elder declares the verdict. The Lion of Judah, the Root of David, he has triumphed. But what does John see? Not a roaring lion, but then I saw in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders, a lamb standing as if it had been slain. The verdict of heaven is this: only Yeshua, the slain lamb and victorious lion, is worthy. Only he can fulfill God's promises to Israel, redeem the nations, and open the way back to the Father for all of us. Past, present, and future, all of humanity has one way back, Jew and Gentile. But what happens next is nothing less than the climax of biblical story. And they sing a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you redeemed for God those from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them for our God a kingdom of Kohanim," that's priests, "and they shall reign upon the earth." This is the vision. The nations, once divided and scattered at Babel, are now gathered and redeemed at the throne. The curse is reversed. The family is restored. The song of heaven is in every language, every accent, every skin tone. Yet it is one song to the one true God. This is not just a spiritual reality in heaven. It is the destiny of creation, and it starts now among us. How does this heavenly vision become earthly reality? Let's go to Acts 2 and review Pentecost, Shavuot. The disciples are gathered in Jerusalem. Suddenly, a sound like a mighty rushing wind, tongues of fire. They are filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak in languages they never learned. Now, Jewish people were staying in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound came, the crowd gathered. They were bewildered because each was hearing them speaking in his own language. "We hear them declaring in our own tongues the mighty deeds of God," we are told. They said in Acts 2, 5 through 11. So what's happening? At Babel, languages divided. Pentecost, the Spirit unites. Now, some say this was a miracle of that they're all speaking in an unknown language and the Holy Spirit caused their ears to interpret it in their own tongue, making it sound like they were speaking in their own language. Some say that because there was 120 in the upper room, that each person spoke in a known language on earth, and that person was speaking to the person who could hear it in their own language. Either way, it's a miracle, amen, that God reunited the languages right here at Pentecost so that people could understand the great deeds, the mighty deeds of God. Hallelujah. So the nations were scattered and are now hearing the good news in their own tongues. The kingdom of darkness is breaking. The family is coming home. The Father's heart is being fulfilled. Del Barreau puts it this way: Pentecost is not just a power encounter, but a prophetic sign. The Spirit is poured out, not just for Israel, for all the nations. The dividing wall is coming down. The new covenant is bursting into the world, and it will not stop until every nation is gathered to worship the Lamb. Hallelujah. What a vision. So who are we? We're grafted into Israel, the one new man. And this is where we step into the story. Last week we asked the same question: who are you? You are not just rescued from darkness. You are brought into covenant, into family, into the very people of God. Paul says it plainly in Romans 11. "But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them and became a partaker of the root of the olive tree with its richness, Do not boast against the branches. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. Israel is the cultivated olive tree, rooted in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in the covenants and promises. Gentile believers are wild branches, grafted in by faith in Messiah. This is not replacement. It's participation. So if you have heard about replacement theology, where the church has replaced Israel, that is garbage. That is not true. We have not replaced Israel. We are now participating and a part of Israel. We are not a new tree. We are joined to the tree that is Israel. The story of Israel becomes our story. The God of Israel becomes our God. The promises to Abraham become our inheritance. Paul presses further in Ephesians 2. For he is our shalom, the one who made the two into one and broke down the middle wall of separation to create in himself one new man from the two groups, making shalom, and to reconcile both to God in one body through the cross. That's pretty clear, isn't it? There's not a Jewish church and a Gentile church. There is only one body, one spirit, one baptism, one Messiah, one people, rooted in Israel, grafted in by faith. And here's the mystery. Even natural-born Jews can be pruned from the tree if they reject Yeshua. But if they turn and believe, they can be grafted back in. God's mercy is always open. And Gentiles too, stand by faith, never by arrogance. Paul warns, do not be arrogant, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. That's in Romans 11, 20 through 21. God's heart is for the restoration of Israel and the nations together in Messiah as one new man. So what does this mean for our daily lives? First, embrace your true identity. You are not a spiritual orphan. You are not a second-class citizen in God's family. You are grafted into the covenants, the promises, the story of Israel. Repeat after me. I am grafted in.
I am grafted in.
I am part of the people of God. I am a branch on the tree of Israel. I am a child of the Father. I am a co-heir with Messiah. Now, doesn't that truth bring you comfort and joy? So, always remember to honor the Jewish roots of your faith. Our faith is not a new religion. It is rooted in the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in the Torah, in the prophets, in the story of Israel. The Tree of Life version helps us remember Yeshua is not the founder of a new religion. He is the Jewish Messiah, the fulfillment of God's promises to Israel. If you are Gentile, rejoice. You have been brought near by the blood of Messiah. If you are Jewish, rejoice. The promises of your fathers are fulfilled in Yeshua. Wow, this is awesome news. The gospel, it's called good news. And I think this is good news right here. The vision of Revelation 5 is not uniformity, but unity. Every tribe, tongue, and nation worshiping together, each bringing their unique beauty and culture and gifts to the throne. Let's be honest. The body of Messiah has not always lived this out. We have allowed division, suspicion, even anti-Semitism to creep in. This is why replacement theology is so dangerous, because it teaches Gentiles or the church that they're replacing Israel, that Israel no longer has favor in God's eyes, that it's all about the church. And this is just not true. Not what the Bible teaches. We are grafted in. We read it. All was clear. There is only one tree. When we are grafted in, natural Jews can be pruned out if they don't receive their Messiah. But if they receive their Messiah, they can be grafted in again. So there's only one tree, which is Israel. We are Israel. And let's be honest. The body Messiah has not always lived this out. But the Father's heart is for one new man. Let's be a community where every background is welcome, where Jewish and Gentile believers worship together, where the song of heaven begins here and now. Israel is called to be a light to the nations, a living demonstration of the wisdom, justice, and love of Yahweh. Now, as grafted in members of the tree, that is our calling as well. We are to be an example to the unsaved world, whether Jew or Gentile. Because in Christ, really, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. That's Bible. Look it up. So we are to be an example. Let's shine the light. And as we do this, we can do it by loving across boundaries, by showing mercy, by speaking truth, by refusing to bow to the idols of our culture, by living with hope, joy, and peace that confronts and confounds the darkness. What a destiny we have as members of the kingdom of God. We're citizens of his kingdom, bringing his kingdom to earth. Let's think about that. That is so awesome that we have the authority to heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, to make disciples of all nations, to fulfill the Father's heart in our spheres of influence. And the story is not over. Paul says, for if their, meaning Israel's, rejection leads to the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be? Life from the dead. Romans 11:15. So pray for the Jewish people to see Yeshua as Messiah. Pray for the nations to be gathered. Pray for the fullness of the Gentiles and for all Israel to be saved. This is the Father's heart, and it must be ours also. Now let's tie it all together. At Babel, pride scattered the nations and brought confusion. At Pentecost, the Spirit began gathering the nations and brought understanding. At Babel, spiritual powers took authority over the nations. At the cross, Messiah disarmed those powers and took back the keys. At Babel, humanity tried to build a name for themselves. At the throne, every tongue confesses the name above every name, Yeshua. 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 Hallelujah. And at the end, the verdict and the vision are fulfilled. After these things, I looked, and behold, a vast multitude that no one could count from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues was standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. In Revelation 7:9-10. This is your destiny. This is your inheritance. This is your authority. Salvation belongs to our God. Let's proclaim it. In our spheres of authority, let's advance the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, in our spheres of influence. Amen? Let's get real. How does this change Monday morning? How should it change you on Monday morning? This is how you can put this message into practical application. Walk in authority. Last week I said, you are not under the dominion of darkness. You have authority in Messiah. Walk in it. Pray with boldness. Stand against evil. Don't let the old voices tell you who you are. Let the verdict of heaven speak louder. Live as one new man. Reject division. Seek out relationships with those different from you. I'm not talking necessarily about sinners. I'm talking about believers who maybe believe differently than you. I mean, there's so many denominations out there, so many different churches. And we want to sometimes hold it against people for believing differently than us. But there's a litmus test. Do they believe in Yeshua? Do they declare that Jesus is Lord? That's it. What they believe about end times or keeping the feasts or, different things, that's neither here nor there. It doesn't mean we have to divide ourselves, separate ourselves. I know I'm guilty of that myself, because sometimes when we have differences, they can be cruel. They can insult us. They can call us heretics because of what we believe. But we must be intentional to honor both the Jewish roots and the global branches of the body. Celebrate the feast with understanding, learn from one another, and love one another. Everyone has a piece of the puzzle. I've always said, try to get their piece. If they don't want yours, that's their choice. Don't force it on them. They think you're a heretic? Oh, well. We know we're not. We know we believe in the one true God and that there is only one God. There's not multiple gods, because that's what sets Judaism and Christianity apart. We believe in one God. Monotheism, not polytheism. We don't worship a bunch of gods. We don't even worship three gods. We worship one God, who reveals himself to us in multiple ways. And it's biblical. But not everybody gets it. Not everybody understands this truth. They get confused with the Father, Son, Holy Spirit language. Well, that's okay. We pray for them to come to the understanding. There's a verse on that we're to love and treat others kindly until we all come to the unity of the faith, right? So we have to be intentional, honor everyone. And even Jewish people, they believe in one God. They believe in the one true God, Yahweh, if they're followers of their faith. Now, granted, there's some Jews who are carnal, who don't even follow their belief system, but I'm talking about the ones who practice Judaism, who keep the feast the way the Bible says and according to their tradition and do the sacrifices the best they can. I know that we can't sacrifice animals in this modern era, but they find ways to honor Yahweh and to worship him and obey him the best they can under circumstances. So we pray that they will come to the understanding of Yeshua as their Messiah. You know, if they're still waiting for Messiah to come, we tell them, good news! Messiah has come! Yeshua is the Messiah. He fulfills all the prophecies. And he has brought us near and made us one new man, Jew and Gentile, grafted into one tree, which is Israel. This is good news. Exciting. Carry the Father's heart for the nations. Every person you meet is a potential family member. Pray for the nations. Pray for Gentile and Jew. support missions, care about the lost sheep. Once again, both Jew and Gentile, we can't stress this enough, because we do not want to rebuild that wall of separation. Amen? You know we keep the feast. And we may not do it 100% traditionally the way Jewish people do, because we believe in Messiah Yeshua. So there's a different message we get out of those prophetic acts, because they're prophetic. The feast, and this is what a lot of Jewish people don't even understand, is that they think they're just remembering certain things or keeping certain feasts because they're commanded to do so. But these feasts are prophetic pictures of Yeshua and the plan of salvation that Yahweh implemented. And Yeshua fulfills all the feasts. So when we keep the feast, we bring out the Yeshua factor. We show where Yeshua is the Passover lamb, where he is our first fruits, where he poured out his spirit at Shavuot, now known as Pentecost, and that he will come again and tabernacle with us. And every man and every woman will be judged at the throne. All the feasts are prophetic pictures. I hope that makes you want to keep the feast if you don't already. To learn more about Yahweh and his plan of salvation. To learn more about Yeshua and how he fulfills that plan of salvation. Because that's what the feasts are all about. They're not Jewish holidays. They are feasts of the Lord. Prophetic pictures. Amen. And I hope that you join us this fall in celebrating the fall feast, because these are prophetic pictures of future events. Yeshua has not yet fulfilled the fall feast, but he will someday. So we need to practice them. We need to learn them so that we can understand what is to come. Amen. Never forget, it's all about the Lamb. The verdict is not about your worthiness, but his. The vision is not about your plans, but his. Keep your eyes on Yeshua, the Lion, the Lamb, the King of Kings. Let your life be a preview of Revelation 5. Worship with joy. Welcome the outsider. Stand for justice. Speak hope. Let the song of heaven echo in your home. Hallelujah. Let me share a testimony that brings us home. A Gentile believer once said that for years, he felt like a guest at God's table. He loved Israel, loved the scriptures, but wondered if he truly belonged. One day, he read Romans 11 with fresh eyes. He realized, I'm not an outsider. I'm a branch on the tree. I'm family. I'm home. Is that you? Are you a Gentile believer? Do you sometimes feel like you don't belong? You love Israel. You love the scriptures. But are you wondering if you truly belong? Read Romans 11 again with fresh eyes. You are not an outsider. You are a branch on the tree. You're family. You've come home. Amen. At the same time, there was a Jewish man who feared that believing in Yeshua meant leaving his Jewishness behind. But when he met the Messiah, he found not less, but more. His Jewish identity fulfilled, his story alive in the Messiah of Israel. Because remember, Yeshua was Jewish. Amen? A lot of people want to forget that fact, especially those who want to be against Israel, want to think they replaced Israel or anti-Semitic. They forget. Yeshua was a Jew. He grew up in a Jewish home. He obeyed the Jewish laws. He celebrated the Feast of the Lord. and other Jewish holidays. He was a good Jew. So we cannot hate Jews. We cannot, be against the Jewish people. Because if you're against Jews, you're against Yeshua. Amen? And that's the beauty of the one new man, Jew and Gentile together, both home in the Father's family. Amen? Well, let me ask you, where are you in this story? Are you living as the one who's grafted in? Are you honoring the root? Are you walking in the authority of the Lamb? Are you carrying the Father's vision to the nations? Or are you still living under the old rulers? Fear, shame, division. Are you a Jewish person rejecting your Messiah because you've heard wrong? You don't understand. You think that believing in Messiah, Yeshua, will make you no longer Jewish. Oh, dear Jewish brother, dear Jewish sister. That's not true. That's far from the truth. You are Israel. And when we are grafted into you, into Israel. Do not be one that is pruned out of the tree. We want you. We need you. We love you. We accept you. Accept Messiah and be part of the one new man. Today the verdict is in. The Lamb is worthy. The vision is clear. Every tribe, tongue, and nation, one body, one spirit, one hope. Will you join the song of heaven? Hallelujah. Let's close in prayer. Abba, thank you for your verdict that Yeshua is worthy and that in him we are restored. Thank you for your vision for all nations, tribes, and tongues, for the one new man, for the family you always longed for. Help us live as those who are grafted in, as those who carry your heart for Israel and the nations. Let us walk in authority, embrace our true identity, and join the song of heaven here and now. We want to bring the fullness, Father. We want your kingdom to come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is what you taught us to pray. And we pray it in your precious name. Amen. So this week, I encourage you to go back and read the verses that I brought out in this lesson. Revelations 5 and 7. Acts 2. 1 through 21, Romans 11, Ephesians 2, Genesis 12, 1 through 3, Isaiah 49, 6, and any other verses that the Lord puts on your heart. Once again, I read from the Tree of Life version, but you, please read it from any version that speaks to your heart. Amen? So if you're in need of prayer, counsel, want to know your place in God's family, or just want to talk, email me at lotsofloveministries@yahoo.com. Now let me send you out with this. The verdict is in. The vision is unfolding. Let's live it. Not as a church that replaces Israel, but as one new man, Jew and Gentile, worshiping the one true God together and bringing shalom to our homes.